Greetings. My name is Reverend Anthony Kelly, and I am a pastor and teacher, author, entrepreneur, father, husband, grandfather, and host of the Shadows Project podcast. Throughout my 50 years of Christian ministry, prison ministry and criminal justice reform has by far been the most challenging. On this podcast, we will uncover the critical truths and justifications regarding prison ministry and criminal justice, and why it is important to the church and to our communities for engagement. Join me in hopes of spreading more awareness and recognition to this overlooked and mostly abandoned church ministry on the Shadows Project podcast. The Shadows Project podcast is designed to show local pastors and churches what, why, and how they can organize and develop an effective prison ministry by purchasing our training workshop package consisting of a 200-color slide PowerPoint presentation at a cost of only $49.95. To purchase your training package for your church, conference, congress, and convention, go to our website at www.rrministriesinc.org. Greetings, my brothers and sisters in Christ and co-workers in Kingdom Building. I pray that all is well with you, your family, and your ministry during these challenging and changing times. My name is Anthony Kelly, and I serve as the organizer, senior pastor, and teacher of the Greater First Church Baptist, located in Baker, or North Baton Rouge, Louisiana. I have also served as senior pastor and teacher to three other churches in Chicago and Danville, Illinois, and Gary, Indiana, before being called to pastor the Mount Zion First Baptist Church to fill the pastoral vacancy after the retirement of the Reverend Dr. T.J. Jemison in downtown Baton Rouge, Louisiana. I'm also chairman and CEO of Reclamation and Restoration Ministries Incorporated, which is a 501c3 nonprofit public charity organized in Gary, Indiana in 1996. RRM's mission focuses on positive youth development, strengthening families, and creating safer communities. I graduated from Trinity College, located in Deerfield, Illinois, earning the Bachelor of Arts degree and earned the Master of Divinity degree from Garrett Evangelical Theological Seminary, located on the campus of Northwestern University in Evanston, Illinois. I have personally been involved in Christian ministry for nearly 50 years as a licentiate ministry, 43 years as an ordained minister, 40 years as a pastor and teacher, and over 25 years as a jail chaplain, state prison clinical chaplain, a state director of Chuck Colson's Prison Fellowship Ministries, and 17 of those years as the founder and former national director, executive secretary of the Prison Ministry and Criminal Justice Commission of the National Baptist Convention, USA Incorporated. Created from these evidence-based experiences are five books I authored which serve as training resources to help churches to equip volunteers and their members who will boldly and proudly serve in a ministry to regenerate, reclaim, and restore prisoners to their families and communities. I will share more information about my book publications at the end of this podcast. Therefore, I'd like to welcome you to episode number 3 of my Shadows Project podcast, titled Getting Started in the Local Church. Subsequently, I will be presenting 9 additional prison ministry and criminal justice training episodes which address this most significant and urgent call for the church to provide bold new leadership and redirected service for engagement in prison ministry and criminal justice challenges. The complete training package consists of a 200-color-page PowerPoint presentation that can be used in perpetuity to recruit, train, and enlist your members and volunteers for ministry in our nation's jails and prisons. In fact, some of you may be wondering why I call this podcast The Shadows Project. It's reflective of my new book titled Shadows, Serving with Character, Competence, Commitment, and Pride in the Absence of Accolades and Recognition. This characterization reflects the nature and essence of working in jails and prisons. The book is designed to inform, enlighten, equip, and encourage servant leaders and Christian workers who serve in the shadows of greatness of others in various forms of ministry to continue to serve with character, competence, commitment, and pride in the absence of accolades, appreciation, celebration, and recognition, and in many cases, even without compensation. There are three important kingdom principles also presented in my book, Shadows. The first kingdom principle is being willing to serve at the lowest level. That's reflective of the teaching in John's Gospel, chapter 13, when Jesus girds himself with a towel and get a water basin and goes around to his disciples to wash their feet. And the apostle Peter said, "No, Lord, you can't do that. I can't let you lower yourself. That's beneath you to be washing our feet." And Jesus said, "Well, just go along with me now. You'll understand it later. But right now, just let me do this. Otherwise, you can have no part of my kingdom." And Peter, still misunderstanding, said, "Lord, well, wash my hands, my feet, my arms, and all of that." And Jesus replied, "Those who have been washed have been cleansed already." Well, this text reflects character as the right manner in terms of acts of care and compassion. The second kingdom principle in my book deals with the willingness to serve where one is needed and not where one desires to serve. And that's especially true when you want to work in jails and prisons. You can't go into prison wanting to serve already with your agenda and your program already made up. And you go to the chaplain and say, "This is what I want to do." Chaplain may say, "Well, I don't have a need for that." You may want to do a prison ministry crusade, and he got 20 churches lined up to do that. And of course, the door will be shut, but you go to the chaplain, who is the key player in that institution, and find out what his or her needs are from the religious programming standpoint, and you will find yourself in a better position to be able to enter into the prison ministry. And the other side of that principle is, if you're not willing to serve where you're needed, then you're not needed to serve. Amen. Service is all about taking care of needs. And then the kingdom principle number three in the book reminds us that servant leadership appointments are not based upon favoritism, but based upon fitness. And of course, that is reflected in the Gospel according to Mark, chapter 10 and verse 32. Where James and John comes to Jesus and says, "Lord, when you come into your kingdom, let one of us sit on your left hand and on your right hand." You know, we're part of your inner circle. We're part of your executive committee. We've been with you. We've walked with you. You know, you've been very close to us. Let one of us sit on your left and your right when you come into your kingdom. And of course, Jesus asked them if they were able to drink of the cup that he drank, and to be baptized of the baptism in which he shall be baptized. And of course, they said, "We are able," but they were not aware that Jesus was speaking of his experience of suffering on the cross. And he reminded them that he don't give the seat assignments in God's kingdom. Only God does that. And God does it not based upon favoritism, but it's based upon fitness. That principle shows us that competency is the right method. In fact, I have always believed and taught thousands of volunteers in national and state congresses of Christian education and church-sponsored workshops that prison ministry must be understood holistically. That is, it involves crime prevention and violence reduction, family preservation, in-prison ministry, and community entry programs and strategies that address the disenfranchisement of too many returning citizens. And each approach and stage of prison ministry is significant. And as Martin Luther King Jr. would say, they are indissolubly bound and irrevocably linked together in order to make our communities whole. Thus, prison ministry seeks to bring the light of hope in dark dungeons of despair, as seen in many of our nation's prisons. Many prisoners are caught in the cage of complacency and need bold, committed, and daring believers, that is, members of God's church, to meet prisoners where they are and help them to move from brokenness to wholeness, from indecision to decision, from no direction to a new direction, from desperation and despair to a new destiny of meaningful and purposeful existence. Oh yes, our churches too must move from being stationary to truly becoming missionary. Prison ministry reminds prisoners that there is a way out of their predicament of incarceration, both mentally and existentially. Prison ministry brings and ensures that hope and humanity remain behind within and around the prison wall. Prison ministry reminds all of us that every human person is redeemable because there is grace enough to save the worst of us. Prison ministry is reminded that there is still hope. And there's hope in and commitment to the regeneration, reclamation, and restoration of prisoners to their children, families, and communities. And so today we're looking at module number 3, entitled Getting Started in the Local Church. This module deals with organizational structure, job descriptions and responsibilities, the prophetic role of pastors in crime and violence prevention, prison ministry and criminal justice, proactive advocacy and reactive strategies, effective preaching to prisoners for the ministers, and how to conduct worship services behind prison walls. And of course, when you look at the local church and there's various denominational structures and so forth, but especially in the church and the Black experience, you begin with pastor. And you meet with the pastor first and foremost, especially within that church in the Black experience, where leadership and authority traditionally comes from the pulpit and not necessarily from the pew. You need to discuss merits of your program and how it will benefit the members of his or her faith-based organization. You'll be amazed that much of prison ministry is convincing pastors and God's church and God's churches of the necessity of engagement in this work. And so you go ahead, discuss the merits of your ministry and how prison ministry will benefit the members of his or her faith-based organization. I guarantee that in any church, you got relatives, you got friends, you got somebody you know who's either on their way to prison, who's in prison, or on their way out of prison, especially many people of color. And so when you meet with the pastor, suggest the formation of a prison ministry within the congregation to serve as the coordinating unit to work with your organization that will provide technical assistance and guidance for church members who want to mentor, for example, children of incarcerated parents or engage in other youth in at-risk situations programming. And thirdly, offer your services that will include orientation, screening, and training of volunteers to be matched with children and youth and formerly incarcerated citizens who qualify for the program services that your church and prison ministry develops. And we know that will be somewhat different in terms of organizational structure in various churches, as I indicated. But you start with the head, the shepherd of the sheep. And in that organizational structure, you have the director. The director of your prison ministry shall be responsible for the overall supervision of the local church. That is, the local church's jail and prison ministry program. He or she, after being appointed by the pastor to be director, shall meet with the chaplain to determine the needs of the prison's religious programming and allow the chaplain to advise in what area of assistance is needed and welcome. Remember, don't close the door before you get in by already having your program lined up. Find out what the need is in that facility and then develop it to meet the need for the chaplain. He or she will really appreciate that approach. The director shall report to the local pastor on a regular basis. Next you have, and you can have your organizational structure laid out, you have under the director, the crime prevention and violence reduction coordinator. This is that part of prison ministry that you deal with people before they get into prison. It's a preventive measure in terms of crime prevention and violence reduction. You got to keep folks from getting to prison in the first place. So this is a very viable part of the prison ministry strategy. And so the crime prevention and violence reduction coordinator shall be responsible for engaging local, county, state, and federal law enforcement agencies, education, business, community-based and faith-based organizations, pastors, parents, police, model former incarcerated citizens, and other interested persons to implement a workable community engagement strategic plan that will reduce the cycle of violence, crime, death, and incarceration of our young people in particular, and all others in general. It will help strengthen families and, of course, create safer communities in your program or neighborhood target area. And of course, the coordinator shall report to the prison ministry director on a regular basis. All right, then you have across from that crime prevention and violence reduction coordinator on your organizational chart, the in-prison coordinator. This person shall be responsible for recruiting, screening, training, and certifying church volunteers and mentors to work in the identified program area, that is, in the prison. This person shall make travel arrangements for volunteers to and from the facility, assist the chaplain in setting up and closing the program experience in the prison, and advise all church volunteers of all security concerns and entry into prisons. The coordinator, the prison coordinator, shall report directly to the director on a regular basis. And then you have third person in this model, the community services coordinator. That is the community services coordinator, who shall be responsible for identifying those prisoners with the aid of prison officials who are soon to be released, identify and contact human services agencies and prospective employers in the city where ex-prisoners who have been trained and ready for release will reside. Also, the community services coordinator in the development of that program or that prison ministry component. Yeah, we'll even match ex-prisoners or released, soon to be released prisoners with church volunteer staff team to offer to serve as prayer partners and provide other support services to assist ex-prisoners in their successful reentry back into their communities. The coordinator, the community services coordinator, shall report directly to the director on a regular basis. Now, we got to understand how the family is impacted in this ministry. The children of prisoners, the parents, and the family life coordinator of your organizational structure shall be responsible for contacting families of prisoners and ex-prisoners at their request to satisfy any special needs such as pastoral counseling, transportation to and from prisons. You'd be amazed at how far the institution is from where spouses and baby mamas and baby daddies live, and they need transportation. Many churches already have a bus ministry. And you see how prison ministry really ties in to the existing ministries of the church. It's pulled things together. It pulls together the ministries that are already there. It coordinates those ministries within the church. And so it can provide transportation to and from prisons, transportation to and from local church, to your church, yes, prisoners, ex-prisoners. Their family members coming to your church. We're charged to seek and to save that which is what? Lost. If we're serious about being partakers of the mission of the church, so we can even provide transportation. We got bus ministries of family members that have no church affiliation and recruiting mentors, particularly for children who have a parent in prison. I remember one workshop I did. I really startled the people when one of the strategies in terms of ministering or stopping crime was to make sure that people would not break in your cars in your parking lot and not break in your churches. And I implied, well, make them choir members, put them in the choir, put them on the usher board. And it was a great laughter in that, but the point was that they should be redeemed, they can be regenerated, and become partakers, amen, as members of the body of Christ. There must be transformation of mind and soul in terms of a ministry to returning citizens. And even in that family life ministry, you got to kind of be cautious in terms of ministering to families of who have relatives in prison, because sometimes there are stipulations where the spouse, particularly in most cases the male, cannot have any association with that child. Well, there may be a situation where the spouse, the mother, has determined that it's not good for the father to have contact. So you got to also be aware in that ministry of what those unique familial situations are. Amen. And so the family life coordinator is unique in that work. So again, you have the pastor or the senior pastor or that person who leads the flock on top. Your organizational structure then comes down where there's a director of prison ministry. And then you have those coordinators amen, that serve cooperatively in terms of your prison ministry organizational structure. That is, you would have your crime prevention and violence reduction coordinator. You'd have your in-prison coordinator. You will have your community services coordinator. Yes, you will. And you'll definitely have your family life coordinator as a part of that structure. And under each of those positions, you would have volunteers. You will have church volunteers who identify with that particular ministry or who feels a calling to either work in crime prevention or community services. And they may have expertise. I'm sure many would have expertise in those areas of employment, of housing, of ensuring the successful reentry of prisoners. And there are a lot of needs, so there's a lot of coordination. Volunteers will be working in terms of the in-prison work as well as the family life coordination. And then that same model can be used in district and state and even national organizations in terms of the organizational structure of your prison ministry and criminal justice work. And so finally, in the fourth episode of my Shadows Project, or the Shadows Project podcast, in the next one, I will be presenting evidence-based preparatory strategies on how to conduct the worship service behind prison walls, to include stages where there's the gathering of the volunteers, there's the journey to the prison, things happen on the arrival, there's determination at the prison gate, there's getting ready for the screening, the worship service, the departure, the interaction on the road home, and the commitment to let's do it again. And so I hope you will join me and other persons in your network for this most significant training podcast, scheduled each Sunday evening from 6 o'clock p.m. to about 6:30 p.m. You are cordially invited to join this movement toward relevant and redirected ministry, again, to regenerate, reclaim, and restore returning citizens, strengthen families, and create safer communities. And so we must engage in proactive advocacy and reactive strategies to prevent crime and reduce violence. As faithful believers in the dignity and worth of every human person, after you have completed the training through the Anthony Kelly Prison Ministry and Criminal Justice Training Workshop, you will be able to move from right belief, which is orthodoxy, to right action, which is orthopraxis, in sharing the good news of Jesus Christ that brings spiritual health and wholeness to those who will hear his voice. Otherwise, the beat goes on. As I indicated, there are some recommended textbooks based upon this work in jails and prisons and in our community. One is called What the Spirit is Saying to the Church, published by Christian Faith Publishing. One called Jailhouse Religion, The Church's Mission and Ministry to the Incarcerated. And How Shall They Hear? Effective Preaching to Prisoners. Published by Townsend Press in Nashville. And of course, my newest book, Shadows, amen, is also available, serving with character and competence, commitment and pride in the absence of accolades and recognition. Of course, published by Westbowl Press, which is the division of Thomas Nelson and Zondervan. So to get that information, go to my website at www.jailhouseresearch.com. www.rrministriesinc.org. Make sure you put that Inc., I-N-C there to get to the correct website. Again, that's www.rrministriesinc.org. Or you can go to www.reverendanthonykelly.com. And that Reverend is R-E-V. www.reverendanthonykelly.com. And those books are available at Amazon and Barnes and Noble. And so again, I thank you for this opportunity and this privilege to share with you in the Shadows Project podcast. I'm excited about the people coming together, the cooperation, collaboration that is taking place among those who feel they are called to this ministry. And so again, I look forward to sharing with you in our next podcast. And I do hope that you tune in and become a part of this extraordinary movement, which indeed is the primary, I feel, the most significant ministry of the church of the 21st century. The church only has one mission, but she has many ministries. God bless you, and may He keep you.